Thing of a confused mixture. If you're like me, you need a hefty arsenal of words to stay random with. So this word should be helpful for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're talking about philosophy, you have to find new ways to say random, right?
You can't just say random or arbitrary all the time.
you need to arbitrary. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, do you talk a lot about specific. Free will or something? So this day in history, Christopher Columbus reported seeing three mermaids near the Dominican Republic. As it turns out, they were just manatees. Apparently, Columbus was not seduced by the voice of the sirens, as he said that they were not half as beautiful as they are painted. So, you probably know about mermaids, the mythical half-female, half-fish creatures, and they've been in culture, seafaring cultures for a long time, at least since the ancient Greeks. And but the interesting thing about manatees, though, is they live about 50 to 60 years.
The sea cows.
Yeah, they're the
sea
cows.
They're so cute,
but they don't
guys.
Have any natural predators.
Oh.
But even though that's the case, they are an endangered species.
So wait, what you're saying is humans are their natural predators.
Yeah, well, it has to do with boats running into them.
Aww.
So a lot of them are injured each year due to collisions with boats. And there are lots in Florida, the Florida area, or the majority of manatees in the U.S. are in Florida.
Mm. So maybe he just thought they were, like, really obese mermaids.
Maybe he needed glasses.
Maybe.
Yeah. He needed a lot of things, apparently. He got confused a lot.
They're like American mermaids. Okay, so the holiday today.
Oh, should I talk about that?
Yeah.
So, guys, it's time to dust off your copy of The Sims, because today is Play God Day. And on a slightly unrelated note, it's Static Electricity Day.
Oh.
Right? Because lightning is static electricity, so if you're going to play God, you know, you might
throw
out some lightning.
Okay, well, that was a stretch.
It is, but still.
So let's talk a little bit. Emerson has some breaking news coming out of Florida.
So in Orlando, police say an officer who was shot while on duty has died, and a manhunt is underway for the suspect, and that's from AP. And
So the manhunt was launched after a female police officer was shot near an Orlando Walmart, and so they're saying the shooting happened. It's called at Princeton Street and John Young Parkway in Orlando. So Orlando police say the officer has been taken into the local hospital. Her condition is not known.
Well, that report was wrong.
Oh.
We do know that her condition is known.
Oh, what is it?
She passed away.
Oh. Okay. Uh-huh. Sorry, this is an outdated thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my bad. Jumping to Russia, Donald Trump calls for a closer relationship between the United States and Russia. Republican leaders in Congress said they support Trump's desire for better relationships with Russia, but they're not sure whether he'll be able to accomplish that goal. Meanwhile, Trump leaders are ridiculing the report.
Russian leaders?
What did I say?
You said Trump leaders.
Trump leaders. It's all the same, right? One and the same. Russian leaders are ridiculing the report that Russia launched an elaborate influence campaign to skew the presidential election for Trump. Representative Chris Stewart is scrambling to reverse his assertion and allegations of the Russian meddling in 2016 presidential election. He's calling them BS following the intelligence reports showing that's what's happened.
Well, he said it was BS, but now he's scrambling to say that I didn't say that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, trying to pretend like he wasn't calling BS when he was.
Okay, sorry about that.
Pretty much all politicians do that.
Yeah.
Do any of you know if he said this after or before the briefing with U.S.
He said it was BS before the briefing was released. But now, since it has been released, he's now kind of trying to backpedal and pretend like he knew it all along.
Well, so there's no foreseeable end to coal use in China.
Huh.
That's because many Chinese rely on coal to warm their homes. This dependence points to the challenge Beijing faces in trying to curb the national awful smog.
Oh, yes. There's so much smog there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can only drive on certain days.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So people get I guess they're permitted to drive every other day.
Yep.
And apparently, yeah, it's very bad air.
Who still uses coal? Like, what?
Well, apparently that's how people keep their houses warm.
This is not the 1950s.
Yeah.
Coal does actually burn a lot hotter and longer than wood does, so you don't have to, and it is smaller, so you don't have to pack up your whole house with something to burn.
Oh, there we go.
And China is a pretty big country, and there are a lot of people living in rural areas.
So. That's true. Yeah. But I mean, this is Beijing, so. Right.
Yeah. So, in other news, an ex-leader of Iran dies, and there is mourning in Tehran. So, the nation will observe 3 days of mourning to pay respect to former Iranian President Rafsanjani, who passed away yesterday. Rafsanjani was a key figure in the 1979 revolution in Iran and served as the fourth president of the country from 1989 to 1997.
Watch out for North Korea, Trump. with Trump getting ready to become president, tensions are up since North Korea has been talking about launching an international ballistic missile. But Washington officials say they will shoot down anything that threatens the U.S. or its allies.
Okay. Well, good luck, North Korea.
Yeah, well, it's a little scary that we have a few unhinged leaders that have access to nuclear weapons.
No, it's totally, yeah. We have to, like, watch him all the time. Make sure he's, like, being babysat. All the time.
Yeah.
Last week, intelligence officials met face-to-face with Donald Trump to talk about the report on Russia's interference with the presidential election. Reminder, it says that Russia is to blame for things like hacking the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign and leaking the material to sites like WikiLeaks. The report also shows that Russian President Putin is the ringleader behind it all, and Russians have been trying to undermine the U.S. democracy for years. But recent efforts were much more aggressive. Trump's always said he doesn't believe in Russia's trying to interfere with the election, but now Team Trump says their boss agrees with the findings, kind of. It's still unclear whether he's on board with the part that he blames Putin. Meanwhile, a lot of GOPs are moving on. They're getting ready to approve a whole bunch of Trump's cabinet picks. Hearings start this week.
So let's talk about those Trump picks. During the time that we weren't here, you probably heard all about all the people that he's going to throw into his cabinet. And an ethics office, the Office of Government Ethics, is concerned about the pace of confirmation hearings for Trump picks. And they say that because they just basically don't have enough time to make sure that all of Trump's nominees have been vetted to make sure they don't have any conflicts of interest when it comes to their finances.
Oh.
And that they have everything in order. They say this takes weeks to do, not days. But these confirmation hearings for 8 of his cabinet picks will begin on Tuesday. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they will push forward on the hearings, even though his nominees haven't completed their financial disclosures, which is kind of funny because just not too in 2009, sorry, he sent a letter saying that Obama was being too quick about nominating or the Senate was being too quick about nominating Obama's picks. And you can read that letter online, just saying that it's very important to make sure that everyone's vetted before they become part of the, you know, government, because they might have something else that guides their decisions, like, you know, close ties to another country or something.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit about Obama.
Well, an AP poll says Obama fell short as president. Why Obama supporters like to tout his high favorability ratings, a recent AP poll paints a different picture. According to the poll, less than half of the Americans say they're better off after his 8 years to office.
And in Utah, citizens want to dump Obamacare. Most Utahns want to see Obamacare repealed and replaced by the Republican-controlled Congress.
Did you guys see the tweet that George Takei tweeted the other day?
I didn't.
I don't follow him.
I do. He's so funny. So somebody, an older guy, was in the hospital, and he was being treated, and he says, "What? I thought Obamacare was being repealed, not the American Care Act.
Or the Affordable Care Act.
How funny is that?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. yeah. I stopped following George Takei when
what?
I... it's nothing so against funny. Him, but he always shares things that I swear are going to give me viruses.
Yeah, that's
like all the
true.
Clickbait that he loves to share.
Yeah, but I still think he's a funny follow. Anyway, in other news, Bears Ears... So what happened over the break was President Obama officially designated Bears Ears as a national monument. So Senate President Wayne Niederhauser, he's the Senate president here in Utah, so he's like the local guy. He says he's supportive of Attorney General Sean Reyes's vow to file a lawsuit over the creation of the Bears Ears National Monument, but he thinks the better course of action might actually be to let Congress and Donald Trump's White House take the lead in the fight. Senator Mike Lee says he's spoken with top-level officials in the incoming Trump administration, and they're open to rolling back Bears Ears. Also, our political insiders aren't sure whether the Republicans in Congress or President-elect Trump will be able to undo the new monument. Also, over the break, there were a lot of protests. People were protesting the creation of the Bears Ears monument. And it was really interesting because a lot of people were concerned about federal overreach. And also the interesting part for me, was like tribal leaders were there and they were protesting the monument and they were like, they were honestly saying thanks a lot to other Native Americans. And they were saying that the other Native American tribes who were in support of the Bears Ears, monument designation threw them under the bus, threw the local Native tribes under the bus. So that was an interesting read this Christmas break.
Pushing back against the White House, Senator Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee want to rein in presidential power following the creation of Bears Ears Monument in southern Utah. Meanwhile, Republican Jason Chaffetz pens an op-ed blasting the creation of Open Ears as part of Barack Obama's job-killing agenda.
Well, we know Obama's
That's so
goal
sensational.
As president is to get rid of jobs in the United States.
And as someone who's worked for the Conservation Corps, it's pretty amusing to me.
Oh, really? Because that probably... more national monuments means more jobs for people part of the Conservation Corps.
Yeah.
But that takes away jobs for fracking and... logging.
Right.
No,
right.
That's true. That's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Because, and I was just kidding.
Central Utah, that their economy is super based off of the fracking that happens down there.
It's an important part of their economy.
The Uinta Basin wouldn't be a thing without fracking.
So, turns out there's a gunfight on the Hill. Well, not that kind of gunfight, but there's a fight about guns on the Hill here in Utah. So Representative Lee Perry plans to bring a bill allowing gun owners to carry concealed weapons without a permit. And they'll be bringing it to the 2017 session. Governor Gary Herbert, however, vetoed a similar measure back in 2013.
Yep. So the legislative session is coming up, and so people are getting their bills ready for, you know, what they want to support. And so... their pornography is back on the plate again, as it was last... Well, actually, I don't think it was last legislative session. But the guy... Do you guys remember Todd Weiler? He was proposing a bill last legislative session about pornography, wanting to declare it a public health crisis.
Well, it happened, right?
No, I don't think so.
Governor Gary Herbert declared it a national health crisis.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh. You missed this?
No, I just don't remember that.
Yeah, no, he did. It's a health crisis in Utah now, according to the government.
I don't even know what that means.
Utah. It just means that they're putting a bunch of money into fighting pornography. Huh.
Anyways, Utah government. Yeah. So the guy who sponsored that bill, Todd Weiler, is at it again. He is now proposing a bill that would allow people to sue pornography producers for damages caused by pornography. And a lot of legal experts are saying, no, I don't think you could do that legally.
Well, here's the thing that I love about Todd Weiler. There's a video that he posted of him talking about this law that he wants to pass. And he said, well, one of the problems is, how do you define pornography? And he's like, well, I like that. Unironically said, I like what the judge said when he said, I know it when I see it. He said it unironically, as if that's a good way to define pornography.
I think it's really hard to define
pornography. Yeah, yeah. It's one of the biggest battles of, like, how to define something, right? You could talk about that with philosophy. What is the Platonic definition of pornography, right?
What's pornography? What's a public health crisis? I mean, yeah, those are things that you just can't... You can't define that stuff.
Yeah, it's much easier to... look at something and be like, oh yeah, that's pornography, than it is to define what it is. But the thing is, everyone's going to do that differently.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an official definition.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean,
it'd be very subjective.
Yeah, different communities. So the things that I'm looking forward to, the things that I hope come out of the legislative session are opioid, better... more opioid bills, because, you know, Utah has an opioid health crisis. And
you mean a real health crisis?
We actually have a real health crisis, mm-hmm. guys. And speaking of health crisis, is air pollution. Holy freak.
Oh, this winter driving was really bad. Driving to Salt Lake,
holy crap. Like, I could not even believe the amount of smog and pollution in the Salt Lake Valley. It was just, like, it was terrible. Yeah. So I hope those are things that are taken care of.
Don't hold your hopes up.
Those are my top priorities.
Maybe for opioid. How do you even? I can't even say
opioid.
It today. Opioid addiction. You might see something for that, but air pollution, nah.
Anyway, let's talk about national news.
Time for the Toyota Camry to make way for the SUV. The Camry has dominated the U.S. market for the last 15 years, but the SUV craze means that it may lose its spot as the top-selling car in the U.S.
This is great for air quality.
Yeah, speaking of air quality.
And Utah isn't the only place with bad weather, which I've lived in Texas, so I can confirm. hundreds of homes are being evacuated in Nevada as thunderstorms arrive. The thunderstorms are part of a massive winter storm that could be the biggest to slam the region in more than a decade.
Oh, wow.
And I have sad news for all of you who want to see Orca Tricks. You might have missed your chance. If you're one of the few people that didn't get outraged at SeaWorld's treatment of its whale performers after watching Blackfish, the documentary Blackfish, it's now too late to watch them in action. That's because yesterday saw the last performance of its One Ocean show, where whales perform tricks for audiences. That doesn't mean that orcas won't be a mainstay in San Diego's SeaWorld, just that the show will be replaced with a live presentation called Orca Encounter, which will focus on educating visitors on orca life.
Aww, that's so exciting. All right, now let's jump to Fort Lauderdale. Last week, a 26-year-old Iraq war veteran opened fire at Fort Lauderdale's airport in Florida. He killed 5 people and wounded at least 6 others. He's been charged and is in police custody. Officials are looking into whether the attack might have been terrorism. The shooter served in Iraq as a part of the National Guard in 2010 and 2011 and showed signs of being unstable after coming home. Last year, he walked into an FBI office in Alaska and said his mind was being controlled by the U.S. intelligence. After he went through the mental health evaluation, but officials said he was still allowed to own a gun. It's unclear whether he suffered from PTSD, but yesterday the Defensive Secretary Ash Carter responded to the shooting by saying, we have to do more for soldiers suffering from the disorder.
So some more local news here. The skyrocketing costs, the cost for new homeless shelters in Salt Lake City could jump over $50 million.
Wow.
which means Salt Lake City residents or private donors will have to cover a big chunk of the bill.
Yikes. I would not want to live in Salt Lake City to have to pay those taxes, right?
Yep.
Those would be really high taxes.
So let it snow or rain in today's case. The snowstorms that slammed Utah at the end of 2016 left the state with above average precipitation for the year, which has state water officials cautiously optimistic.
Yep. All right, we are going to go to break. Thank you so much for listening to Aggie Radio, KBLU LP 92.3, Logan, Utah. Coming back after this, we have our sports report, and we're going to talk a little bit about the, what was it, the Golden Globes? What was the
Something's happening in the world today.
With that celebrities.
Some people think matters.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Thanks so much for listening to the Aggie Morning Word. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
I'm Trevor Porath.
And I'm Emerson Isaac.
This is Nate Lowerson, class of 2009, and you're listening to Aggie Radio 92.3 KBLU LP. Logan, Utah. Go Aggies. Something he cannot define. Bowel shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse. Assail him,
impale him with monster trucks. Welcome back to the Aggie Morning Word, KBLU LP 92.3. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
I'm Trevor Porath.
And Emerson is here.
Yeah, apparently everyone's forgetting their names today. Yeah. I don't know what my name is anymore.
All right, now for our sports report.
This weekend we only had three going Utah State Aggies going on. First of all, we had the men's basketball team, which beat UNLV 79-63.
Yeah.
That's Kobe, what I love to hear.
Kobe McEwen led with 28 points, 26 of which came in the second half. The game was pretty close, and then Kobe goes and hits three pointers in a row to help the Aggies get up to a 16-point lead and never trailed from there. Jalen Moore and Sam Merrill round out the top three scorers, with Sam Merrill at 14 and Jalen Moore at 12. In women's hoop was a loss to UNLV overtime, 55-53. This game actually made national news. There was actually a fight in the third corner at the 110 mark. There's a lot of videos on Twitter about it. It was kind of
a women's basketball game. There was a fight that broke out.
Yeah, there was actually some pretty big punches going in there.
That's awesome.
Benches cleared.
It's not awesome. It's bad for everyone.
No. That's awesome.
This is why we watch sports.
Dude, we should be going to the women's basketball games.
I heard they're great.
Yeah, eight players ended up getting tossed from the game.
Oh, my
gosh. The two fighters and then three from each team for leaving the bench. The funniest part is when a UNLV player that has like a big old boot and cast on all hopping on one leg over there to try and join the fight. But
that's awesome.
The end came to UNLV with the 55-53 win over Utah State in overtime. Aggie gymnastics starts off the last Friday with their first meet. It was with two others at Arizona. They took second. Arizona with a 194, Utah State with a 191, and Texas Women's University with a 189.5. Aggie's Madison Ward took the first for the floor exercise with a 9.825.
That's awesome.
That rounds out the Aggie sports for this weekend.
Sweet. All right,
thanks for doing that.
Guys, I'm so glad we have a sports reporter.
So let's talk a little bit about an author. His name is Nat Hentoff. Have you guys heard of him? He's an author and jazz writer, and that's why we're going to talk about him. So he's known for writing about civil liberties and jazz music. He wrote for the Village Voice for 50 years, which is a newspaper in New York, if you didn't know. And then he's written for many other major publications like the Washington Post. A bunch. His final column in 2009 for the Village Voice, and this is really the reason why I wanted to talk about it, included this quote from one of his mentors in journalism. He said, if you're in this business because you want to change the world, get another day job. If you are able to make a difference, it will come incrementally, and you might not even know about it. You have to get the story and keep on it because it has to be told.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Brad.
Yeah. There you go. I wanted to get that quote out there. Trevor, do you want to tell us about the Kardashian theft?
Oh, yeah. That was crazy back then. So police in Paris linked the suspect to the October theft of more than $10 million worth of jewelry from Kim Kardashian West. There were 16 arrested in that.
Wait, does that mean that she's married to Kanye West?
Yeah, did you not know this?
I didn't know they were married.
They've been married for a long time.
Oh.
They have a baby named North.
Really? Is that a joke?
Nope. Wow, you're really not up on the celebrity news. You've got to get this together.
Gosh, that's so funny.
Speaking of celebrity news, the biggest celebrity gathering happened just not too long ago.
Oh, the Golden Globes.
Yeah, that was my cue.
Is that what we're
guys
talking about? So La La Land dominated the Golden Globes. And I don't know if you can tell, this is obviously written by somebody else because I don't know what's going on. Damien Chazelle's bright-hued Los Angeles musical takes home seven awards, which is a Golden Globe record.
And at the Golden Globes, Jimmy Fallon took a sleeping pill and Meryl Streep picked up the slack for him.
Because he hosted, right? He was the host. So we said that La La Land did really well. What else happened at the Golden Globes?
I don't know. I didn't really watch it. I'm more of a Tony's guy myself.
Oh, you're cultured.
On the big screen, La La Land, because Noah Calhoun tap dances to Fences. Not Hidden Fences. On the small screen, The People versus O.J. Simpson, but you already knew that. Atlanta, The Night Manager, and The Crown got awards.
But I think like the real story of the night is Meryl Streep.
Yeah. She didn't talk about her career at all, commenting on President-elect Donald Trump's apparent imitation of a disabled reporter back in 2015. She said, "When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose." She also urged everyone to support journalists.
Yes, those are my favorite words.
And especially independent press organizations not owned by a conglomerate.
Yeah.
Such as NPR.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Support NPR, guys. NPR is the coolest.
Apparently, noted culture critic Donald J. Trump made a very astute observation that Meryl Streep, of course, is one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, which I'm sure anyone would agree with, that, right? I have to say, she is a very good actress, but I don't really like the things she's in. But I can still really recognize she's got a great... She always performs really well. So, yeah.
So, what else happened that night? Gosling made everyone cry, right?
Mm-hmm. Hugh Laurie upstaged Jimmy. Dev Patel brought in his mini-me. Goldie Hawn forgot her glasses. Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig were a barrel of laughs. Everybody said goodbye to Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher.
Oh, no. Goodbye, Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher.
And Emma Stone made everyone see stars. Viola Davis turned lemons into best dress. Issa Rae did not look insecure. Thandie Newton, Sarah Paulson, and Chrissy Teigen,
I guess,
all impressed with
they all looked good.
And makeup teams.
What an accomplishment, guys. What an accomplishment.
You know who to hire. Or you just happen to be set up with the right person to make you look good. So, do we have any quirky news or anything else?
Yes, we have, because we love squirrels on this show. I feel like we talk about squirrels all the time. So, Candy Crazed Squirrels steal sweets from a convenience store. Wanted, a group of repeated offender squirrels with the nuts to steal candy bars from a Toronto convenience store.
Oh, man, that was full of too many puns.
The mission of Luke's grocery store, Paul Kim, who says the brash critters just want, they just waltz right in and take his candy. So he's looking for these crunchy, crisp, so they prefer Crunchies, Crispy Crunch, and Wonder Bars.
So I know how he can get those squirrels to leave. Get a dog like ours.
Yeah.
Just set it outside, and they will not come back.
They'll never, yeah, that our dog will eat the squirrel. In other news, researchers say zombies could wipe us out in 100 days.
Yeah, so watch out.
Wait, no, you're not listening to me. You just watch out for zombies?
Yeah, watch out for those zombies. You know how they are. They don't care. They just want to eat your brain.
Yeah. So life without zombies wouldn't last very long. A new study concludes that ravening zombie hordes would reduce Earth's population to no more than 200 survivors within 100 days. So the University of Leicester...
Leicester.
Right, Leicester, that's right. Peer-reviewed the Journal of Physics and Special Topics is a tongue-in-cheek analysis of physics students of a mathematical model that predicts the spread of disease. But in the model, zombies serve a deadly series function to simulate how quickly a virus could wipe out the planet. The model divides the population into three categories: those susceptible to the infection, those infected, and those who have died or recovered. The model then considers the rates at which infections spread as individuals of the population come into contact with each other.
And University of Leicester is one of our study abroad partners, so you could go University of Leicester.
Is it really?
Maybe be a part of this a little bit. Talk to the researchers.
But that is the coolest thing ever.
On kind of another note, if you guys are looking for, like, on a related note, actually, if you're looking for some way to explore pandemics, there's actually this great board game that's called Pandemic. have you guys heard of it?
No.
So it's a cooperative board game. So it's very different because you're not competing against each other, and you're trying.
To
prevent a disease from wiping out a region.
Oh.
And it's pretty fun. I've played it.
So, oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that wraps up the Aggie Morning Word on KBLU LP 92.3, Logan, Utah. Thanks so much for listening in. Tomorrow we'll bring you some more news, some more quirky news, and coming up on Friday, like I said earlier, Robert Gillies with the Utah Climate Center will be here to talk about whether or not our weather, crazy weather, is due to climate change. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
I'm Trevor Porath.
And I'm Emerson Isaac.
Stay classy, people.